This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio.
All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
And that's he got exactly what he asked for, which is that limited authority for the meaning of the term income to tax profit or gain from corporations. And they, and as I said before, the IRS themselves are the ones that expanded that to include an ability to tax foreign entities such as non-resident aliens and foreign corporations or partnerships. And that's all embodied in the code. So that's chapter two of the book. Just quickly reviewing the other chapters of the book, we go to chapter three in my book, which is called Whose Receipts Are Income. What I do, Angelina, in that chapter is to show that the IRS agrees with the Constitution by taxing the word income only as profits received by corporations or receipts of those foreign entities who, as non-citizens, they don't have those same constitutional protections against taxation as do our citizens. Then we can move on to Chapter 4. A quick summary there. It's titled The Internal Revenue Code, A Masterpiece of Trickery and Deception. What I do there, Angelina, is to show how words are used and defined as terms in the Internal Revenue Code, and these cause such confusion. It's very, very evident today in the misunderstanding as to what those terms and what their real meaning is, which, when properly understood, confirms the limited application of the income tax to privileged profits or gains of corporations and receipts of foreign entities, but not to the earnings or receipts of U.S. citizens, because those citizens are constitutionally immune, as we've discussed, from income taxation. Next, my Chapter 5 of the book, and again, the caption here, the title of Chapter 5 is Social Security, A Flat Rate Income Tax and Voluntary Withholding. Now, that sounds kind of strange, isn't it? A flat rate income tax and voluntary withholding? Mm-hmm. People say, oh, no, there's nothing voluntary about that. Every time I go to work, I've got to sign a permission slip called a W-4 Withholding Allowance Certificate. And so what can be voluntary about it? Well, you know, when you think about it, Angeline, every time anybody does go to work, that is, in fact, pretty much the first thing that the payroll clerk for the company they're working for will put under their nose. They'll say, here, you have some options under this slip. Pick one of the options, check it off, and then sign this slip so that we can withhold income tax for you. That's just an assumption that they're taught to make by their employer, their accountant, and their lawyer that the tax is due and owing. But it completely eliminates any reference to the Fifth Amendment of our Constitution. The Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment totally prohibits anybody from taking a dime from us without that due process. That's why they have to have the W-4 withholding allowance certificate. Think about it this way, Angeline. What does allowance mean? When I ask people that question, they say, sure. Mm-hmm. It means, well, if you have to have permission to withhold, well, then it can't be mandatory, can it? People overlook that, but that's really the truth of the matter. The W-4 withholding allowance certificate is an absolute necessity for the employer to withhold the money. And I go into great depth in Chapter 5 of this book, showing that all withholding is voluntary. And a couple of my addendums, which I've discussed a little bit, on the subject of the Social Security income tax, which, by the way, that's all it is. It's just another income tax. It's not what the title to it recommends or states that it is. And that's another subject which I discuss in some depth in Chapter 5. Because that is, it's titled in the Internal Revenue Code, the FICA tax, so-called Federal Insurance Contribution Act. And it's referred to frequently, incorrectly, as the FICA tax. Actually, the Social Security tax is nothing but a flat rate income tax. And it's every bit the same thing as the graduated income tax. But there is also an opportunity, which I point out in great length, in the Internal Revenue Code to avoid the graduated income tax, the convention tax, the withholding on it for any statutory consideration, because they are recognizing that that is exactly a voluntary nature. There is a code section which enables people to avoid the payment of the graduated tax on the W-4 withholding allowance certificate. Now, I get into that in some depth, Chapter 5 of the book. Let's move on quickly to Chapter 6 of the book, which is titled IRS's Illegal Collection Activities. Now, this chapter shows that all IRS collection activities for income tax against citizens are unlawful, and it shows that all statutory and Supreme Court authorities and requirements for assessments, liens, levies, and the making of returns are limited to Title 27, which has nothing to do with the income tax. Title 27 covers only alcohol, tobacco, and firearms tax. Then we move on quickly to Chapter 7, which is titled Limitations of the IR Code, Filing Requirements, and Criminal Charges. Now we're talking about an analysis of the limited application of the Internal Revenue Code's alleged, and I emphasize the word alleged, filing requirements, because I already discussed that briefly. The filing requirements are extremely limited to those who are liable for the tax, and I pointed out many times in the book that there's only one code section that makes anybody liable. If you're not a withholding agent or fiduciary for either a corporation or a non-resident alien or another foreign entity, well, then you don't have that liability and you have no filing requirement. So anyhow, I go on in that chapter to show the non-applicability of U.S. citizens' earnings and other receipts to the income tax. I show the liability for both income tax and criminal charges is limited by code sections in the Internal Revenue Code 1461 and also in Code Section 7343 to those who are actually required to deduct and withhold from taxable entities. Other supporting code sections and Supreme Court decisions are also included and discussed in that Chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
Then let's go to Chapter 8.
Okay, Fenner, this is a good time for us to take our break, and then we'll come back and we'll pick up on Chapter 8. Listeners, today my guest is C. Fenner Goldsboro. We're discussing his book, Super Scam, Mega Fraud, and the Misapplication of the Income Excise Tax, and we'll be back momentarily.
Millions of people who've never even set foot in a casino take a dangerous gamble every day, living without health insurance. You can't afford not to have it. but affordable insurance can be hard to find, especially if you're a hard-working entrepreneur or if you're working for a company that doesn't offer benefits. At Health Insurance Direct, we have a perfect solution with access to dependable, affordable health insurance plans. They have a plan that fits your individual needs perfectly at a price you can afford. Call 24 hours a day at 800-608-2521, 800-608-2521. Don't gamble. Call Health Insurance Direct right now for affordable health insurance. 800-608-2521, 800-608-2521. Not available in all states. Here's the number one more time. 800-608-2521, 800-608-2521.
Did you know a sugary drink contains around 200 empty calories per can? This is registered dietitian Jim White. It's no surprise, extra sugar means extra calories. This can result in weight gain, offering little to no nutritional benefit. Nutritionally sound beverage choices are water, 100% fruit juice, and low-fat or fat-free milk. Cutting out sugary drinks allows you more room for fruits and vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, and low-fat dairy. This is registered dietitian Jim White. Visit eatright.org for more healthy tips.
In a nation that has lost its way, Essays in Liberty is an important work. There has never been a time since the American Revolution that has called for a greater effort in teaching the principles of liberty. The vast majority of America has become liberty illiterate. Help revive our founders' vision of a constitutional representative republic. Fight for freedom today. Essays in Liberty will equip you to do just that. Order Dr. David Berman's latest book, Essays in Liberty, at smellthetruth.com. That's smellthetruth.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Truth Seekers radio show. Today, my guest is C. Fenner Goldsboro, and we're discussing his book, Super Scam, Mega Fraud, and the Misapplication of the Income Excise Tax. And Fenner, before we went to break, I believe you were finishing up Chapter 7?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, well, that was limitations of the IR code filing requirements and criminal charges. I think we pretty well covered that. I couldn't go into too much detail, but it might be noteworthy to note on that, Angeline, that the IRS themselves show that all of the sections really that relate to filing requirements and liens, levies, everything that they charge the public with today incorrectly are all code, Internal Revenue Code provisions that are applicable only to Title 27, which is a title that covers alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. And this is their own admission in what's known as the Parallel Table of Authorities and Rules. And when we point that out to the Internal Revenue Service that they're misusing that authority, which is applicable only to alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, to the income tax, they will normally back off because they know that we've caught their hands in the cookie jar, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. I think in the interest of time, if you permit me, Angeline, we'll move on to the Chapter 8 of the book.
We're okay.
Almost finished, because I have a lot of other stuff that I need to cover in the limited
okay.
time. The Affidavit of Revocation and Rescission is a document that I have been advocating for the 35 years. I haven't filed a tax return since 1975. So that goes back quite a ways. That's when I first got involved in this fight early on. And it's important that we recognize the fact that the very filing of a tax return is the thing that more or less puts your neck in the noose. If you're not a taxpayer, that is to say if you're not a person liable for the tax, which we've discussed, then you are also a person that should establish that fact legally. And the way to do that, I propose and have always proposed, is with an affidavit of revocation or rescission where you get out of the dilemma that you put yourself in by filing this affidavit and stating that you are a non-taxpayer. It's important to understand that the Internal Revenue Service charges almost everyone with being a taxpayer if they even work for a living. That's their misapplication of the term income, which we've already discussed. And we go into in so many other of the earlier chapters I mentioned. We get out of that dilemma by filing this affidavit and revoking or rescinding any previous tax returns that we ever filed in the past and proving that we're not liable for the tax unless we are, of course, a person that is a fiduciary for a corporation or a treasurer of a corporation and has the responsibility to deduct and withhold tax for that taxable entity, be it a corporate entity or, let's say, a fiduciary withholding agent, such as a stockbroker for a taxable foreigner, that is a non-resident alien or other foreign entity, corporation, or partnership, that's a different story. They can't file an affidavit. But for those of us, which is the vast majority of us citizens who are protected by the Constitution, indeed, we do recommend the filing of the affidavit of revocation and rescission. You're revoking all your previous returns and you're establishing your non-taxpayer status. That's a recognized status by our courts, the Supreme Court, as well as the appellate courts in the federal judicial system. So all of that is done, and we show how that protects the individual against any taxation. And then we call the necessity for liability for tax to the attention of the IRS when they come after you and try to get you to file a return and pay a tax that you've learned from reading Super Scam that you never owed. So let's move on to the last chapter of the book, Chapter 9, the most frequently asked questions and answers. And I have 14 questions and very brief answers in that chapter, but I make reference to the chapters in the middle of the book, that is chapters 1 through 8, in more detailed responses to those chapters, those frequently asked questions and answers. And that pretty well covers the book. By the way, Angeline, prices, is we feel, very modest. We only ask for $15 for the book, $3 for shipping and handling. And actually, if people would many times take advantage of my offer, which shows on my website, of purchasing 5 or more books, I give a discounted price of $13, and I pay all the shipping. And a lot of people that I've had ask me how they can compensate me for the years of experience that I've had in putting together this data and getting it all in the book form. And I tell them, well, the best thing you could do for me is to try to get wider distribution of my book. I think, to discuss briefly how difficult it is to get this subject matter over to people. I wrote a little addendum. It's sort of a supplement to my book, Angeline, called Too Good to Be True. And what I'm trying to get across to people is an understanding that I have, and they should understand, of why this is such a tough message. We've got to remember that for 100 years now, since June of 1913, when the 16th Amendment was actually enacted into law, the Internal Revenue Service has been a masterful propaganda organization. I truly believe that Hitler's propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels, could learn something from the IRS. They have done one magnificent job of buffaloing or bamboozling the American public that they owe the income tax. And in this little paper that I wrote, I point out a number of things that I think are important for the people to understand as to why this is such a tough road to hoe. First of all, fear is probably the most frequently voiced reason why most readers of my book, Super Scam, would fail to act on their newly acquired knowledge. Fear has been intentionally programmed into most Americans by IRS propaganda over the past 100 years. And they suggest, of course, to our working citizenry that if they don't file returns and pay the tax shown thereon, they'll go to jail. And it's a master propaganda organization. IRS threats, both the veiled and the open threats, erroneously suggesting a requirement to file tax returns and pay the amount shown thereon, have been impressively effective. And for decades, this has been going on. Such threatening propaganda is taught and repeated in the schools and the colleges by competent professionals in both the accounting and legal professions. Because lawyers and accountants are actually falsely educated to believe the IRS lies about their authority to tax Americans' wages, salaries, and other earnings, the acceptance of this political bamboozle by those professionals. It reinforces the public acceptance of the lie. Second, our citizenry's innate patriotism, which is a good thing, is embodied in the phrase, and I'm quoting here, "We must pay our fair share," end of quotation. That leads to acceptance of the IRS lie that our fair share, so-called, is a portion of our citizens' salary or wages, despite the constitutional and statutory prohibition, which we discussed in great detail, Angeline, against any such direct tax. Third, habit and human nature. And that's in our genes, I'm sure you'd agree. By nature, we tend to follow the crowd. Everybody else is doing it, hence I can't be an exception to the rule. Most of us are doubting Thomases by nature, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
A different point of view is voiced against what has always been a commonly accepted requirement. In the news recently, we've seen a lot about whistleblowers, and maybe I'm a whistleblower, so whistleblowers are often get themselves in a lot of trouble because they've got the courage to come up and show a wrong and to do it publicly, and they pay a big price for it. Fourth, our sensitive egos are easily and painfully bruised, and they tell us to go with the flow when we learn we've been tricked and deceived about one of life's most important questions.
Mm-hmm.
It damages our egos when we accept a lie and later learn through our own research that we've been bamboozled. It's easier to simply accept the lie and act on it as though it were true, even after we've discovered the truth, so that our sensitive egos will not be harmed.
Right.
The habit is hard to break, don't you agree? If we've been doing it forever, it must be right. And most of the people I talk to, Angeline, have been filing tax returns for years and years, and this is all a brand new thing to them. It must be right, or at least that's the common understanding. Any change is thought to have been unknown, and this case, scary consequences that they're looking at, when and if we're urged to change on the basis of newfound knowledge.
Well, Fenner, I hate to break in on you, but we'll have to pick this up again next week because we've run out of time. Listeners, we're going to be back with Fenner Goldsboro next week to continue and conclude this discussion on the tax super scam. Is there anything else you want to say real quick, Fenner, before we go?
Well, I'm going to wrap it up because I want to talk briefly about Holy Scripture.
Okay.
Three out of four of my book buyers are Christians.
Okay.
But they have the courage to stand up and fight this war because we Christians, as I am a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist, Bible-thumping Christian, mm-hmm. we know we've been better to look forward to when we leave this baby.
All right. Okay, listeners, today my guest has been C. Fenner Goldsboro, and join us again next week to continue our discussion on his book, Super Scam, Mega Fraud in the Misapplication of the Income Excise Tax. And until next week, God bless.
We are being defined by algorithms that think they know what you like and who you are. But is their digital version of you really you? The all-new Infiniti QX55. Introduce yourself.
Experience the all-new Infiniti QX55 at your local Infiniti retailer.
Fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Broadcasting truth, you're listening to the K-Star Talk Radio Network at kstartalkradio.com.
Riverside, San Bernardino, Inland Empire, and listeners around the world. Welcome to the Truth Seekers Radio Show. I'm your host, Angeline Marie. Thanks for taking the time to join us. We're broadcasting from our flagship station, KCAA 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind. If you're located in the Southern California Inland Empire, you'll find us on KCAA 1050 on the AM dial. And if not, you can find us streaming on kcaaradio.com or talkstreamlive.com. You can also hear our program rebroadcast on Liberty Works Radio Network at libertyworksradionetwork.com or on Red State Talk Radio at redstatetalkradio.com. And you can check their website for broadcast days and times. Also, you can find podcasts posted on kcaaradio.com to listen at your leisure. And don't forget, you can find out more about our show at truthseekersradioshow.com. Today, my guest is Suzanne Posel. She's the chief editor and investigative journalist of OccupyCorporatism.com, and we're going to discuss mortgage fraud, foreclosures, and the link to Agenda 21. Suzanne is the radio show host of The Region 10 Report. It's an alternative news show dedicated to exposing the elite and their plans to globalize our money, our governments, and our people. And her program can be heard on American Freedom Radio Thursdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific. Suzanne began writing articles about the information she researched on the New World Order. The website OccupyCorporatism.com was born from her research, discovering that everything is incorporated, and that is a major part of the problems we face in our world today. Welcome, Suzanne. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm getting over a cold, but I'm good.
Well, we're sorry to hear that, but we're so glad that you're here today because this is a very important subject, and I'm sure there's a lot of people going through this right now, and that's really why I thought it was important to have you on the show. So I first heard about you on another interview you did, and then I read your article, which is, by the way, it's fantastic. It was well-researched, and it did a great job, a lot of great information. And you talk about the PATH bill. So, first of all, I just wondered, how did you get interested in doing this mortgage fraud foreclosure story? And then maybe you could segue right into exactly what is this PATH bill?
Well, I have my best friend is working in keeping people in their homes. She's an activist. Her name is Michelle Darnell, and she also, for a time, worked with the Staffney Law Firm in Washington State, who are also good friends of mine, and they are working to keep people in their home and setting precedent in the court system in Washington State right now. You can go to staffneylawfirm.com if you're in the Washington State area. Look them up. They have their cases up there. And so Michelle brought this PATH bill to me and said, you have to write an article because this is one of those things that seem really nice. I mean, it's called PATH, Protecting American Taxpayers and Homeowners Act. I mean, that sounds great, right?
Yeah, warm.
We all need protection, right?
Yeah.
We all need more federal protection. We don't need our Constitution. We need the government. Yay. And so when I looked into it and I saw what was going on, it reminded me of Geoffrey Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. Folks, they keep doing it over and over to us because we keep buying it and literally buying it. I mean, how many people bought the iPhone 5S? Well, you just handed the NSA your fingerprint. So they don't have to arrest you to get your fingerprints. They got them now. And how much does that phone go for, like $300 or $400?
Yeah, at least.
That's a lot of money to spend on your own tyranny.
Right.
So PATH is an incredibly wonderful piece of legislation, and I use that term lightly. It was passed in the House Financial Services Committee, headed by Jeb Hensarling, and he brought the bill to them, and this is a way to create a sustainable housing finance system. Sustainable. That should be a key word. That word should make you cringe because that has to do with Agenda 21.
Right. So they're on this outing together, and who attended this?
Oh, it was great. It was a ski trip. They all met in April of this year. And the people who showed up, those people also funded his JEB, his super PAC, his Jobs, Economy, and Budget Fund. And this was representatives from American Securitization Forum, representative from the Mortgage Bankers Association, Visa, members of retail industry and finance corporations, Capital One, Credit Suisse, PricewaterhouseCoopers, MasterCard, UBS, U.S. Bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, Koch Industries, and I'll get into that because that has other implications. Cash America International, every time you get that check advance, these people are there. The National Association of Federal Credit Unions, if we get a chance, we should talk about credit unions because I just wrote an article about that. And a lot of people ask me, is my money safe in credit unions? No, it's not.
All right,
but I'll get into that later.
Okay. And, Suzanne, what's the current status of the bill? Do you know?
It is scheduled to be considered on the Senate floor. And so it's there waiting. The fact that it was approved by the House Committee is by the House Financial Services Committee is extremely scary. And I'm sorry, I have to correct myself. It's not the Senate, it's the House of Representatives. So Hensarling says that this plan, I quote, "Our plan helps taxpayers and homeowners. It gives power and control back to consumers." Yeah, right. "Under the current broken system, unaccountable Washington elites have more to say over who gets a mortgage than your local bank." Well, yeah, he should know. He sat down and had a ski trip with them and had a good time with them. "The current system is a government monopoly run by the same types of Washington bureaucrats who run the IRS. America can do better. Americans deserve better. When the people who are in bed with the technocratic elite are talking smack about the technocratic elite, don't be fooled. They're not outing anybody. They're on the side of the banksters." So PATH has one little thing buried deep inside of it, and I'll just get to the meat of it. It's called the National Mortgage Data Repository. And this is the brainchild of the Federal Housing Finance Agency and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And what this does, what this National Mortgage Data Repository does, is it legitimizes the MERS system. Now, the problem that the banksters had is they came up with this grand idea. Let's give out mortgages to people we know are not going to be able to pay their bills. Let's get these homes sold. Let's not only give it to people who are low income and have questionable credit. But let's also make sure that the paperwork when they go to pay their bills doesn't make it all the way through. Let's hold their payments. Let's rack up a lot of fees. And then let's foreclose on them. And with the mortgage-backed securities, people, not only people who were paying mortgages outstanding, but people who had paid off their home 20, 30 years ago, were getting letters from five different lenders saying that they were being foreclosed on by five different entities.
Talk about changing your world overnight.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Well, so when they go to court, when a homeowner goes to court and they are fighting their foreclosure, what they use is the MERS system as their point of complaint. When they file the complaint with the court, the MERS system is completely an illegal action. And it's the Mortgage Electronic Registration System. It was set up in 1995, and it is a private corporation. It's a database. And so on the board of directors is Freddie Mac and Wells Fargo, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, Fannie Mae, Bank of America. This is all a system made by the technocrats for the technocrats. And because there are no physical people signing these documents, it's robo-signed, it's illegal. You need an actual person. The trustee in the mortgage is usually working for the insurance companies for the banks or for the banks themselves, tied in indirectly or maybe a couple of degrees of separation. So that's a conflict of interest. And so these people who are fighting their foreclosures are winning in court because of the MERS system, because of the system that they set up in 1995. So the technocrats said, well, geez, okay, we're losing the homes that we wanted. We're losing the land that we were grabbing. And we need to make this stop. So they take Jeb Hensarling out for a weekend trip for skiing and drinks and having a good time and hand him PATH while they're there on the weekend. And he says, sure, this sounds like a great idea. And so he takes it to the House Financial Services Committee and says, we have to approve this. This bill has to be passed, because if we do this, then we'll be protecting taxpayers and homeowners. And they're like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. So they go ahead and they approve it to be considered on the House floor. And we have this monster that says that the MERS system, which they're now calling the National Mortgage Data Repository, mm-hmm. is now a federalized legal system. And this means that the legal standing that homeowners have when they take these banks to court over their foreclosures is now gone.
All right, Suzanne, we're going to take a break. Listeners, today my guest is Suzanne Posel, chief editor and investigative journalist of OccupyCorporatism.com, and we'll be back momentarily on the True Seekers Radio Show.
Listen to classic conservative patriot talk radio shows of yesteryear like Chuck Carter's For the People, Bill Cooper's Hour of the Time, Joyce Riley's Power Hour, Stan Monteith's Radio Liberty, Tom Donahue's Freethinker Radio, and many other classic shows. Listen 24/7 at PatriotRadioClassics.com. That's PatriotRadioClassics.com.
Are you looking for the cheapest prices on car insurance? Then call the Cheap Car Insurance Hotline right now. Hey, you're guaranteed to save money on your car insurance. Most car insurances can be canceled at any time. That means if you find a better deal, you can switch right away. We're not just one company. We offer most of the major brands of car insurance. We're like a discount supermarket for car insurance. And it doesn't matter if you have a good record or a bad driving record. Our agents are experts at finding you the right car insurance for your needs. Our average customer saves hundreds of dollars a year when they call us to switch. So why don't you make this 100% free call right now and see how much you can save on your car insurance. Paid for by AIS Insurance.
Call 800-297-3985. 800-297-3985. 800-297-3985. That's 800-297-3985.
Welcome back. You're listening to the True Seekers Radio Show. Today our guest is Suzanne Posel, chief editor and investigative journalist of OccupyCorporatism.com, and we're discussing mortgage fraud, foreclosures, and the link to Agenda 21. So, Suzanne, so you're saying the NMDR, that National Mortgage Data Repository, it's the same thing as MERS, but it's the new version of MERS. Is that correct? Did I understand that right?
Oh, yeah. It is the federal government's version of MERS.
Okay.
So legal standing, which in court, when you file a complaint, you have to have a legal right to file that complaint. That is your legal standing in court. They have now removed that with this proposed bill. And if it were to pass, it's not passed yet. It's not signed into law. But if it were to be, that means that when you go to court and you say that my mortgage was illegally conducted under the MERS system, they'll say, well, we don't have the MERS system anymore. We have the National Mortgage Data Repository. They're the same thing, just under a different name. And therefore, the MERS system is under federal protection. It's legal. And the banks didn't do anything wrong.
And people are going to buy this. I mean, they're going to buy it hook, line, and sinker. And you were talking about how basically what you're saying is the elite overlooked the MERS, the lack of evidence that it held. They didn't know it was going to come back and bite them, basically. Right.
It appears to me that they thought that that they underestimated that people would fight for their homes. Most people acquiesce and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
They've got all these other things going on. They probably lost their job. They've got other financial things going on. They feel like they can't do anything. It's the bank. You know, everybody thinks you need a bank account. You mm-hmm. don't, folks. You don't. Mm-hmm. But everybody thinks that they do. And so when the big bad bank is coming after your home, what am I going to do? I'm just little old me. I can't do anything. I can't afford. I can barely pay my mortgage. I can't afford an attorney. Nothing's free. The attorneys that are fighting in this litigation, a lot of them are doing pro bono work, but we need, you know, people need to get paid. And there's a problem. The most people can't pay the $6,000 retainer it takes. And my friend Michelle that I mentioned earlier, she's trying to set up a coalition fund so that there would be money in a fund that people could apply for and help pay their legal bills as they're fighting this, or even get the whole ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can fight it in court, and a lot of people are winning, the ones that do get to court. So this would just take that right out from under them, you know.
Can you talk more about the conflict of interest? I mean, it seems like all the people that were on the board of directors of MERS are also investors. I mean, it seems really incestuous. Do you agree with that? Or
Oh, absolutely. It's like that all the time. It's like the Monsanto Act. It's like every piece of legislation, when you look at the groups that are lobbying for this, or the groups that help write these pieces of legislation, or the senators or House of Representatives that are championing these bills, all get kickbacks from the people that would benefit from this. Like the SNAP program, they took $39 billion over 10 years out of the SNAP program, the supplemental food. So people who are getting food stamps are either not going to get food stamps, or they're going to get a lot less. And 101 million people are on food stamps right now. 47.3% of the recipients of food stamps are children.
Wow.
So there, and the people who said that we need to defund these social programs, these people get kickbacks in the six-figure digits from Big Agra and all these other companies that just don't want to help out the social welfare. They want to remove social welfare. They're defunding social welfare, kind of weaning us off of it at a time when people actually need it.
Well, how does this bill, or how would this bill affect people that want to get a mortgage loan, people that were in a foreclosure situation, or people that are now in a foreclosure situation? Can you address some of those scenarios?
Well, absolutely. The problem is that it legitimizes MERS. So if you have filed a complaint, you have lost your legal standing. If you were to file a complaint in the future, you would have no legal standing to do so. And those homes that won in court, the bank would then be able to go back in time and take you back to court and get your home back, because MERS is legal. And that was the scariest part for me. That was the question that I had. I was talking with my friend Michelle when she brought this to me, and I said, well, will they be able to take the homes away from the people who already got them in court? And when I asked that question, my cell phone connection dropped, and I had to call my friend back, and we couldn't get through to each other. We tried four times. So finally I texted her and said, we'll talk about this later.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that if I'm losing cell phone connection and I don't live in a place where my cell phone is compromised, you know, then they don't want me discussing this.
Right. You know, you explained it really well in another interview I heard. You called it the Jeopardy Clause, and you were talking about the difference between civil and criminal. Could you go over that? Because the way you explained it was very clear, and I think that would be good information to get out.
The Jeopardy Clause in criminal is, I'll use murder. If you are indicted for murder and you are acquitted or found not guilty, they can't then turn around and come back at you for murder. That's double jeopardy. They can't do that. So when they bring a murder case forward, they make sure that they have everything perfect because they don't want to lose the case. And civil has a version of the Jeopardy Clause that works much the same way as the criminal counterpart. In Jeopardy, which is the civil version, can terminate in four instances. During acquittal, after dismissal, after a mistrial, and on appeal after conviction. And so what this means is that the homeowner who previously won a lawsuit against the bank and kept their home would now be able to be under threat of the bank again to have the case reopened under new evidence arguments. And the new evidence would be the passing of PATH and the legalization of MERS. Bank of America could then come back and say, well, MERS has been legalized. And they can take your home away from you. If you won your home with the first case on acquittal, after dismissal, on a mistrial, or on appeal after conviction, and that has to do with the criminal version, but we're applying it to civil. So if your case was acquitted because the bank couldn't prove that they signed the documents through robo-signing, they can't prove that someone actually took their hand, took a pen, and took it to the paper. So they lose. You lose. I mean, I'm sorry, the banks lose, and mm-hmm. you win your home. And with PATH passing, they can then say, well, this system is legal. This system is federalized. And so I'm coming back and saying that the acquittal or the dismissal or the mistrial is now illegitimate based on new evidence being the passage of PATH. So they can come back and see you again for your house. And after you've gone through one lawsuit and you're still paying off bills from that previous lawsuit, who can afford to go through another one?
Right, let alone the first time.
Right. So in the second time, if you're financially strapped, chances are you're not going to be able to fight and you'll lose your home. And that's what they're banking on.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Suzanne, I've heard you even say that people don't even know if their home has been paid off. Can you talk more about that?
If your home was securitized through the MERS system, look on the top of your mortgage note, and there will be an 18-digit number. It will start with the letter M for MERS, and you will know that your mortgage was securitized. And if you need more information, there's a gentleman who wrote a book called Clouded Titles. I cannot remember his name. His name always escapes me, but the book is Clouded Titles. He has a website. Go look him up. He does radio shows, and he is available for communication through emails, and he can explain much better what to do once you see that you've got that 18-digit MERS number on the top of your mortgage note and how to proceed.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and take our next break. Listeners, today my guest is Suzanne Posel, chief editor and investigative journalist of OccupyCorporatism.com, and we'll be back momentarily on the Truth Seekers radio show.
We'll be right back. You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-603-9983. 800-603-9983. 800-603-9983. That's 800-603-9983. Paid for by GoHealth.
We're unlocking the vault.
Now you can listen to classic conservative patriot talk radio shows of yesteryear like Chuck Carter's For the People,
Bill Cooper's Hour of the Time,
Joyce Riley's Power Hour,
Stan Monteith's Radio Liberty,
Tom Donahue's Free Thinker Radio, and many other classic shows. Listen 24/7 at PatriotRadioClassics.com. That's PatriotRadioClassics.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the True Seekers Radio Show. Today, my guest is Suzanne Posel, chief editor and investigative journalist of OccupyCorporatism.com, and we're discussing the mortgage fraud, foreclosures, and the link to Agenda 21. And Suzanne, could you give us any other contact information? Or I've been saying your website is OccupyCorporatism.com. Do you want to talk a little bit about the radio show or give any other contact info?
Well, my radio show is on a hiatus. I just moved into a new house, so I had to put my show on hold. But you can listen to the archives on American Freedom Radio. Just look under show hosts or put in the Region 10 report in their search, and you'll be able to listen to the old shows. I do a lot of other interviews, so you can catch me anywhere. I'm on Lori's Talk News Radio on Sundays, 7 to 9 Pacific Time. And I just kind of show up anywhere, but that's
Well, I've heard you talk about, well, in the article you were talking about the JEB Fund. What is that exactly?
The JEB Fund is, Jeb Hensarling's, kind of like, here, let me, it's his super PAC. So people will, give campaign contributions to him through this super PAC, and it's the Jobs, Economy, and Budget Fund because this is his platform. And so he takes money from all the people that I mentioned. They all contributed hundreds of thousands of dollars, which if you add it all up comes out to multi-million dollars that they put into his fund. But the PATH bill has implications in retail and also in energy. And MasterCard, Cash America International and CheckSmart Financial that were there. Let's say that you had a JCPenney card. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody still does, but let's say you do. And, you charged off, $300 or $400 a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, MasterCard or, JCPenney's or, whoever it is can come back after you and say, well, I'd like that $300 back.
Okay, but God forbid you had tens of thousands.
Which most people do, you know,
yeah,
charge everything.
Uh-huh.
You got to have a good credit score. If you don't have a good credit score, you can't even get a job, actually. They're checking your credit score.
Wow.
So, yeah, they say that if you don't pay your bills, you're not responsible and you wouldn't show up to work.
It's like, well, why would I need a job if I had loads of money?
Exactly. Well, yeah, when you go to get a loan, you have to have exorbitant amounts of collateral.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't need the loan if you had
right.
all this stuff.
So let's tie this whole thing up back to the land grab in your Agenda 21. because you had some good info on that. So this all goes back to just one big land grab, correct?
Yes. Ben Bernanke calls it QE3, mm-hmm. QE infinity. And he just said that he's going to continue to do the QE. And what that is they're buying the mortgage-backed securities at $85 billion a month. They're buying the mortgage notes. The Federal Reserve is the biggest landowner in the United States right now because they are holding all of those notes that were securitized, and they are continuing to accumulate more and more notes as they pay out to the banks. Yes, it's a bailout to the banks, but even bigger, it's a land grab. Now, for your listeners, we'll probably remember that in the 70s, a professor put together a map of the United States indicating areas where non-human use, little tiny black dots on either coast where the megacities will be located, and how would they be able to acquire the majority of the continental United States? Through the mortgage-backed securities debacle, through the housing bubble that they created, with the Federal Reserve acquiring all of those mortgage notes, every single note that they have in their hands is another piece of property that they own. And I want people to understand it's not just your neighbor down the street who is being foreclosed on. Every single piece of property in the United States at some point had a mortgage. Mm-hmm. If you're renting a house from somebody, or if you're renting an apartment from a company, if they don't pay their bills, guess what? Everybody goes out.
And that was happening a lot. I knew people that were renting places, and come to find out, the landlord wasn't even making the mortgage payments, and it was a surprise to the renter. So that was happening.
Yes, and it's happening a lot. It's also the farms. It's any piece of property. You know, a lot of people get stuck on homeowners, and that is directed information because they want you to think that the mortgages are just for homeowners. No, it's for everybody. If you own a piece of property and you have a business on it and the bank forecloses on the property, your business has to move. Where are you going to go if you don't have any other place to go? So you have to close down your business.
You know, I think you just wrote a recent article where you talk about something called Living Cities Project. And when I was reading that, I think it was you were talking about how victims of foreclosure could easily be entered into this pipeline for something that they were calling the Living Cities Project. And that just seemed to dovetail so perfectly with this foreclosure situation. Do you think there's a deliberate connection there?
Yeah, the article is 6 things you need to know about the bankster takeover. And that was part of another article that I'd written. And I was looking at what's going on with the banking and reading a lot of articles that are coming out that my peers are writing. I want people to understand the end game is Agenda 21. That's what they want. And so Living Cities is this great little idea that a bunch of banks came up with. J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, the Ford Foundation, AARP, Bank of America, Citigroup, and the Rockefeller Foundation. And so Living Cities is a privately funded group that is going to help all of these families who are displaced by foreclosures. That sounds great. It's wonderful. Give them some place to live.
Mm.
Let's see what's available. Oh, it's all of these Agenda 21 shoeboxes, like in New York. They just built 275 to 300 square foot apartments. San Francisco built 150 square foot apartments. Boston built 450 square foot apartments. Oregon just erected the 267 to 385 square foot apartments. Is it going to be cheaper to live in a shoebox? No. We're talking about $850 to $1,500 a month.
Oh, my gosh.
To live in a cell, to live in a 4x10.
Right.
And the Daily Mail put out an article showing these huge 25, 30, 40-story high-rises in the lower-income areas in Beijing. And they took aerial shots of the people inside their little cell that's as big as your bathroom. If you have what my husband likes to call a one-booty bathroom. And the aerial shots tell it all. These people have shelving all up on the walls. They only have room for a bed. They're eating on their bed. They've got a little makeshift stove that you would take to, like, a camping trip, and that's their stove.
That's not living. I'm sorry. That's not living.
Well, what these people say for the shoeboxes is, come on, you're doing all your living outside your house. You're working outside your house. You're socializing outside of your house. You just need a place to sleep. You don't need all that room.
Yeah. Well, in your opinion, so if somebody does have a paid-off mortgage and they say, well, Suzanne, I know I'm safe because I own my home, what do you say to them if we're looking into the future with all where all this stuff is going? Are they really safe?
Check and see if you've got that 18-digit number that starts with the letter M. If you do, you're not safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I talk to my friend Michelle, I ask her, how many homes have been foreclosed on? I mean, can I say that one-third of the property in the United States has been foreclosed on? And she says, we have no idea. Those who are working in the foreclosures industry, keeping people in their homes, activists who are working with the lawyers who are man enough to actually go up against the banks and win these cases, they have no clue how deep this goes. The assumption is every single piece of property will eventually turn up in this mortgage-backed securities debacle. It is simply a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say that to scare people. I say that so that people can be vigilant and look up things now. You don't want to have the sheriff come knocking on your door because you thought that you were paying off your mortgage. You thought you were paying on the principal, but you never got to the principal because you've been paying all of these bank fees and all these late fees because they've been holding your paperwork. Because when you go to remodify your home, they hold the paperwork for 2 or 3 months, and then an hour before midnight when they're supposed to have been already filed, they go ahead and file it and say, oops, we lost it, but we found it and we filed it an hour before it was due. And, oh, your modification did not get approved. And, by the way, people pay for that modification. There mm-hmm. are and people have to be wary. The modification process is a scam. And there are people in the foreclosures circles who have picked up on this, and they work with Bank of America. And be very wary of people in the foreclosure circles telling you remodify and everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. It'll cost you $2,000 or $3,000, but it'll save you in fees and attorney's fees and court costs down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Don't do it. As scary as it is, find an attorney. Like I said, Staffney Law Firm in Washington State, and they network with people all across the country. It might be that they can advise you with an attorney somewhere in your area.
All right.
But don't take the modification. Those people are working with the banks. They get a kickback. You pay $3,000 for that modification that doesn't go through, and that guy who told you to go ahead and refi or modify your mortgage got 15% for signing fee, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he's making money off of you losing money and going to court anyway and losing your house.
Unbelievable.
It is. It's unbelievable. The people who claim to be helping are helping the banks hurt us. And with everything that's going on, people really need to look into where they're getting their information, who they're talking to, and make sure that it is a credible source. The thing that I do with my journalism needs to be done across the board for everyone listening to this show.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who pays attention to alternative media in general, there is a lot. There is too much disinformation. There's not enough people who are sourcing documents so people can read the actual document and not just another article that mentioned that document.
Right.
And I try really hard to get those actual documents so people can read them and get the information that is actually going to help them. instead of just directing them to a CNN article that mentioned it. And then you have to, like, copy and paste a title and look for it. And by the way, if you ever want to find, this is just a little hint for people who do research, for your listening audience, anytime I want to find an actual document, I find the title of the document and put PDF at the end of the search. And nine times out of ten, I find the actual document.
That's a good idea. Uh-huh. Okay. All right, listeners, today our guest is Suzanne Posel, chief editor and investigative journalist of OccupyCorporatism.com, and we will be back on the True Seekers radio show momentarily.
The Vault. Now you can listen to classic conservative patriot talk radio shows of yesteryear like Chuck Harder's For the People, Bill Cooper's Hour of the Time, Joyce Riley's Power Hour, Stan Monteith's Radio Liberty, Tom Donahue's Freethinker Radio, and many other classic shows. Listen 24/7 at PatriotRadioClassics.com. That's PatriotRadioClassics.com.
Are you looking for the cheapest prices on car insurance? Then call the Cheap Car Insurance Hotline right now. Hey, you're guaranteed to save money on your car insurance. Most car insurances can be canceled at any time. That means if you find a better deal, you can switch right away. We're not just one company. We offer most of the major brands of car insurance. We're like a discount supermarket for car insurance. And it doesn't matter if you have a good record or a bad driving record. Our agents are experts at finding you the right car insurance for your needs. Our average customer saves hundreds of dollars a year when they call us to switch. So why don't you make this 100% free call right now and see how much you can save on your car insurance. Paid for by AIS Insurance.
Call 800-297-3985. 800-297-3985. 800-297-3985. That's 800-297-3985.
Welcome back. You're listening to the True Seekers radio show. Today our guest is Suzanne Posel, chief editor and investigative journalist of OccupyCorporatism.com. And we're discussing mortgage fraud, foreclosures, and a link to Agenda 21. So, Suzanne, why do you think maybe the mainstream media, I haven't heard much of them talking about this much at all. Why aren't they touching this story? I think it's pretty important.
Because the CIA controls the mainstream media. That's it in a nutshell. You might hear something here and there.
Yeah.
When I look for news to write what's going on, I always look for something that nobody else is talking about or some piece of information that came up in a search and then disappears the next day. I want to capture that because that is the information that people need to hear about. Because they do. They'll mention it because then they say, well, we did. Mm-hmm. CNN will say, we did. We wrote this one article that was out for like 10 minutes. And then we pulled it back. But we did. We covered
it. Right. Yeah. Do you believe that it's the end of property rights as the American people know them?
Well, we never had property rights.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay property tax, you never owned your property. If you have to ask the city for permission to dig a well, you never owned your property to begin with.
It's getting ridiculous, too, as time goes on.
You can't have a watershed. There are cities that have ordinances that say the rain clouds, and the rain comes down over our city, and we own that. So if you collect that rainwater, you're going to be arrested because you're taking money out of the city's hands.
So
they own the clouds.
Yeah. So what can the average guy do? It gets so frustrating and so overwhelming. And I can see where people, they just get so blinded with so much information, they don't even know where to start, even if they're in a situation like this.
my answer to that always, and I've looked at this every which way, and it's not a popular opinion,
mm-hmm.
Because the alternative media is basically moving the audience toward a specific response to everything that's going on around us. My opinion is stop complying with the system. The system is based on your compliance. It's been set up that way. It's been set up to victimize and create slaves. The slave mentality is rife in our social consciousness, and we police ourselves. And, you know, they do have the little see something, say something campaign everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
But and on the city buses. And when I take the ferry onto the mainland where I live, it says, you know, if you see something, say something. If you see a bag unattended, that could be a bomb. Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Stop complying with the system. If you don't like what's happening to you, if you don't appreciate the ethics of the corporation, don't buy from them. If you don't appreciate the ethics of the banking industry, close your bank account. You can survive without a bank account. I've done it for nearly a decade now,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have a problem paying my bills.
You know, in speaking, you mentioned credit unions earlier. So what about people that say, well, I'm part of a credit union, so I think I'm okay. What would you – because you said you wrote an article regarding that.
Yes, I got an article coming out tomorrow.
Great.
On OccupyCorporatism.com about the National Credit Agency, NCAU, I'm sorry. They are suing the banksters over the mortgage-backed securities fraud. And this is a federal organization that is much like the FDIC,
mm-hmm.
which means that all of your credit unions, all of your independent, quote-unquote, independent credit unions that just pop up, and they're democratically run because it's a credit union, so everyone has a voice. They are backed by the federal government. They're insured by the federal government, which means that at the end of the day, the bank is going to go with the federal government over your opinion or your vote in the credit union. And people need to understand that. Credit unions are not as independent as they appear to be because they are federally funded and backed by the federal government. So my opinion, no bank is a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
No bank is a good bank.
And what about, have you heard, now this I never heard in the mainstream. Have you heard that China actually owns, like, I think it's in Toledo, Ohio, like they own a piece of that city, and also in Idaho, it's like these little Chinese enclaves that are owned by China, and they're Chinese citizens actually working there, and it's ruled by China. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't, but China has been given special privileges through the Obama administration. They are given first right of auction through the U.S. Treasury on property here in the United States, especially those homes that were seized and are on auction through the foreclosures. So they are purchasing an exorbitant amount of the foreclosed homes, foreclosed buildings, foreclosed businesses, foreclosed properties. They're just eating it up.
Mm-hmm.
And with first right on the there is a it's kind of like a secret market before it goes on to the open to everybody from the U.S. Treasury. Obama gave the Chinese government their own password into the computer system so they can see as it comes up, as these homes get put on. It's kind of like an MLS system.
Oh, my gosh.
So they get to see what's coming up before it's officially on the market for auction, and they go ahead and put a bid on it before anybody else does.
Isn't it unbelievable how all this stuff goes on, and we don't even know about most of it? It's just really scary.
It is.
But, you know, the sad thing is I think a lot of people don't want to know about it. Because when I talk to people about just the few little things I hear in the alternative media, They think I'm out of my mind.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, my friends and family who are not awake, they think that what I do is it's like a career and that I'm, like, successful, you know? Like, oh, my daughter is a radio host. No. Did you hear my show? did you read the article?
But it's like, it's either that or they say you're being negative. You know, you're a doomsday person. You're just being negative.
Well, that's the social conditioning, folks. Mm-hmm. That's the policing. Oh, yeah, don't be a negative Nancy, you know. I get people sending me emails all the time. Why don't you write about something positive? To me, this is positive. To me, knowing what's happening to you instead of walking around going, why does this world stink the way that it does? I wanted to use another word, but I won't. You know, why is life so hard? Uh-huh. Why is it so terrible? Why do people leave? Why do people get divorced so much? I don't know anybody from high school that I was such good friends with, and why do people move away from their families? This is all social conditioning. This is isolationism. This is getting you away from your comfort base and your support base so that you can be more easily victimized. Mm-hmm. And we think that it's normal. It used to be normal that when your parents got older, they moved in with you and you took care of them until they died. Now you just send them to a home and let somebody abuse them, and you pay them money for that.
Right.
And then you wonder why grandma is so depressed every time you go to see her. Because she shouldn't be living out the last few years of her life away from her children, away from her grandchildren, you know, the things that give her life meaning. She
right.
spent all of her life working hard to take care of you, and you stick her in a home because you don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, exactly. She's an inconvenience.
Yes.
It's sad.
We do that to each other. You know, we do that to our kids. How many times do we sit down and talk to our kids, like really talk to our kids and find out how they feel and what they think about what they're learning in the indoctrination stations?
Or sending your six-week-old baby to a nursery school. That one I can't understand.
I made the decision when my son was born. I have a son and a daughter now.
Mm-hmm.
My son was born. I just started teaching him things and more and more different languages, learning how to read and write. When it came time for him to go to school, I went and looked at the different schools where I could send him in the curriculum,
mm-hmm.
and I realized that he knew more than his counterparts would going into first grade.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, I'm not going to do this to him. I'm not going to dumb him down
right.
or put him in a situation where he isn't challenged and be told by the indoctrination stations that my son needs to be on a mood stabilizer in order to continue to go to school,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of parents are being told. So I homeschool both of my children. My daughter is about 3, and she sits at the table with me and my son while he's learning,
right.
and she's learning just alongside us, you know?
Good for you. Okay, well, Suzanne, we're running out of time, so any final thoughts on the PATH bill that you might want to leave the listeners with?
Go to the article. The article's entitled New House Bill Wipes Mortgage Fraud Clean for Banksters on my website, OccupyCorporatism.com. And please click on the links and contact Jeb Henserling and all of the people on the House Financial Services Committee, whether or not you are their constituents, and tell them exactly what you think about them legitimizing an illegal system that will allow the banks to keep those homes, take those homes, and even take them from the people who have already won them in court.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks, Suzanne. Thanks so much for your time and this important information. Listeners, today my guest has been Suzanne Posel, Chief Editor and Investigative Journalist of OccupyCorporatism.com. And thanks until next week when we meet again. God bless.
Locking the vault.
Now you can listen to classic conservative patriot talk radio shows of yesteryear like Chuck Carter's For the People, Bill Cooper's Hour of the Time, Joyce Riley's Power Hour, Stan Monteith's Radio Liberty, Tom Donahue's Freethinker Radio, and many other classic shows. Listen 24/7 at PatriotRadioClassics.com. That's PatriotRadioClassics.com.
You're listening to the K-Star Talk Radio Network, broadcasting truth 24/7 around the world.
San Bernardino, Inland Empire, and listeners around the world, welcome to the Truth Seekers Radio Show. I'm your host, Angeline Marie. Thanks for taking the time to join us. We're broadcasting from our flagship station, KCAA 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind. If you're located in the Southern California Inland Empire, you'll find us on KCAA 1050 on the AM dial. If not, you can find us streaming on kcaaradio.com or talkstreamlive.com. You can also hear our program rebroadcast on Liberty Works Radio Network at libertyworksradionetwork.com or on Red State Talk Radio at redstatetalkradio.com. And you can check their website for broadcast days and times. Also, don't forget, you can always find podcasts on kcaaradio.com to listen at your leisure. And you can learn more about our show at truthseekersradioshow.com. Today, my guest is Dave Krieger. He's the author of Clouded Titles, and we're going to discuss the foreclosure crisis. Dave is a former news reporter and investigative journalist who won national and state news awards from Associated Press broadcasters. In 1990, Dave began studying law and specializing in real estate, consumer credit, and collection issues. And his first published work was the Credit Restoration Primer. It was released in 1995 and is now entering its fifth edition. Dave currently serves as a paralegal and legal research analyst for a network of attorneys across America that handle real estate and foreclosure matters. He currently conducts audits of county land records and instructs attorneys on the subject of chain of title assessments and quiet title actions in continuing legal education courses around the country. His latest book, Clouded Titles, covers information about the aspects of foreclosure defense, strategic default, quiet title actions, and county land record functions. And so if you would please welcome my guest, Dave. How are you doing today, Dave?
Well, as good as can be expected.
Great. Listen, you know how I learned about you? A couple weeks ago, I interviewed an investigative journalist named Suzanne Posel. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she had just written an article on mortgage fraud and foreclosures, and she highly recommended your book, Clouded Titles, during our interview. And so, of course, I got right on the Internet, looked you up, found out more about you, and contacted you. So that's even how I found you, because I think your message and the workshops that you give is extremely important, especially in today's foreclosure environment that we find ourselves in. So what I'd like to ask you, Dave, is just how did you get involved in the issue of foreclosures, and what led you to write your book, Clouded Titles?
Yeah, that's that requires a somewhat long-winded answer, but I'm not going to try to bore your listening audience. Angeline, basically, this started out back in 2000 when I bought a piece of property and refinanced it. And I bought it from Washington Mutual, which is now defunct. In the process of all of this, I had absolutely zero idea, as many people do today. As a matter of fact, millions upon millions of homeowners have absolutely no idea what MERS is. And so mortgage electronic registration systems, or MERS, We have some out there that think there's an A somewhere in the acronym. They call it MERS, but it's MERS. That's what MERS people call it, so I call it MERS. Unfortunately, for this this beta-tested model, which is what I like to refer it as, you know, we've had judges around the country and appellate courts rule that this business model is illegal. It shouldn't be there, should have never been there. Virginia Delegate Bob Marshall, who I was on a phone conference with one afternoon, he's out of Manassas, Virginia, one of the D.C. burbs, and he was talking about, you know, what authority or right, legal right, that MERS had to come into existence. And I started looking at my own paperwork, and Angeline, basically, in sum and substance, that's what started my investigative journalistic skills back into motion after taking a hiatus from radio in 1999. I had been studying law for quite a while, but it didn't start to dawn on me until I took out a 2005 mortgage and saw MERS on my deed of trust in Texas that I knew that there was something wrong. And so I started to investigate the mortgage mess. And at that point in time, in 2000, I started compiling files. By 2005, when I basically was, you know, looking for other property, I had amassed a four-drawer standing file that, you know, the kind that you pull out and all the files are loaded from the side,
mm-hmm.
where you have to stand on the side of the drawer when you open it up. I had four drawer file cabinet, steel file cabinet loaded with this information. And I thought, gee, what am I going to do with this? 2008, I broke my foot, and that's when I decided I'm going to sit here and take the time while I'm recuperating. And I just looked at the file cabinet, and I said, you know, I've got to do something with this information. At that point in time, I started to pen an outline, and then with the additional research I had amassed from 2006, when I sold my last adjustable-rate mortgage loan, one day prior to it resetting and almost tripling in monthly payment, I went seriously from $630 to over $1,700 a month.
Wow.
And I dumped it the day before it was to reset. And so that was the last time I had a formal mortgage up until this last year. I was mortgage-free after that and held acreage and property, you know, mortgage-free that I knew could pass for clear title when I sold it. So in the interim, however, I purchased another home in 2002, and a year later, I ended up walking away from the mortgage, which is why I wrote the section of the book, Strategic Default, because this is happening en masse across America. And mm-hmm. so that's basically how Clouded Titles came to be. We released the first edition of that, which was 254 pages, on December of 2010.
Okay. Now, let's back up a bit and go to basics, because maybe for people that are just tuning in that haven't heard much about MERS, I mean, I've heard about it because, like I said, I interviewed Suzanne and she kind of went through it. But I'd like to go back and just let's give a real basic, simple answer. Let's talk about how mortgages used to be handled versus how they're handled today after MERS came on the scene. Could you give us a little of that background history?
Sure. The instance where you wanted to go to a bank, and it was your local bank, you lived down the street, you knew everybody, everybody knew you, they knew you had a job, everything was fine, and you were making a halfway decent income, and you were tired of renting, and you wanted to buy a house for your family. Having saved up a down payment, which most people generally did at the time when things used to be normal, they would go to the bank and they would sit down and they'd say, we'd like to buy a house for $100,000. And the bank would say, gee, you know, we'd like to loan you the money, but first we have to pull your credit and see how your credit scores are, and then we have to see whether or not you've got a down payment. And, oh, I see you have a bank account with our bank. Well, that's very nice, and let's see it. Looks like you've been saving your money. We've seen regular deposits in here systematically out of both of your paychecks. You got two income earners, and it looks like you've got $20,000 to put down, so we'll go ahead and loan you the other $80,000. First, the bank went out because they are not really in the real estate business per se, so they hire an appraiser to represent the bank to go out and the appraiser, who had the bank's best interest at heart, would say, you know, the property is going to probably appraise at maybe 105 at best. And so this is probably a good thing. They'll have a little bit of equity in the property, and it's probably a safe bet after doing the comps in the neighborhood that a majority of them have sold for around that value for that square footage. So I think it's a pretty safe bet.
Dave, hold that thought. We're going to come back to the appraisal question. Listeners, my guest today, Dave Krieger, author of Clouded Titles. We're discussing the foreclosure crisis. We'll be back momentarily on the True Seekers Radio Show.
For thousands of years,
you hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-603-9983. 800-603-9983. 800-603-9983. That's 800-603-9983. Paid for by GoHealth.
America is in ruins. The globalist Great Reset is here. Enough of the candy-coated, seeker-friendly nonsense. Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper where we take on the tough issues. We cover things your pastor wouldn't touch if his life depended on it. Actually, your life depends on it. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com. It's time you get the truth.
Unlocking the vault.
Now you can listen to classic conservative patriot talk radio shows of yesteryear like Chuck Carter's For the People, Bill Cooper's Hour of the Time, Joyce Riley's Power Hour, Stan Monteith's Radio Liberty, Tom Donahue's Freethinker Radio, and many other classic shows. Listen 24/7 at PatriotRadioClassics.com. That's PatriotRadioClassics.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the True Seekers Radio Show. Today my guest is Dave Krieger, author of Clouded Titles, and we're discussing the foreclosure crisis. So, Dave, you were talking about the banks going in and getting an appraisal before we went to the break.
Yes, I was. And this is something that, you know, they used to do, because we were talking about the used to could situations where people actually had a down payment. They went to the bank and everybody knew everybody, and it was easy to get a loan, and there was an element of trust involved. The bank was not out to own your home. They'd rather not own your home. Banks are in business to make interest off of loans that they make. And I'm just trying to keep it simple here and keep all of the ancillary arguments about fiat money and everything out of the equation, because it doesn't have any place in the courtroom, and it certainly won't have any place in this conversation.
Okay.
So, and we're going to talk about some cases afterwards that affect the Inland Empire area, which is really important.
Uh-huh.
So you want to get your ears on here.
Okay.
To digress a little bit, I just held a chain of title assessment workshop in Ontario, California, which was attended by attorneys from as far away as Chicago and then locally as far away as Bakersfield. You know, we had a lot of homeowners there and a lot of paralegals and people who were interested in learning how to do what I do, and that is assess chain of title. So back to the issue with the loan being made, everybody basically knew you know, what your payment was going to go to. They knew what bank was going to get paid every month. That's just the way it was. Then, you know, and I have to back up even a little further back to the 1930s, post-Depression, Congress said, you know, we can't allow what just happened here to happen again. So what we're going to do is we're going to pass this little piece of legislation called the Glass-Steagall Act, and we're going to prohibit the banks from entering securities and playing in securities.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we fast forward from our normal situation when the chains of title were fairly clear and there was relatively few disputes or fewer disputes than we have now. We fast forward to today. In 1999, the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act was put in motion. It passed the legislature, was signed into law, and one of the provisions inside of Gramm-Leach-Bliley, among other things, was to repeal Glass-Steagall. Ironically, and not coincidental in my opinion, at the time that, prior to 1995, the Mortgage Bankers Association and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were trying to devise a way that they could get back into the securities market because they said, you know, there's some money to be made here. And what do you say we turn on our lobbying power and get the Congress, get one of our legislators in Congress and pay him off, that's what I think happened, to go in there and get this bill passed to repeal Glass-Steagall. And by the time Glass-Steagall passes, we're going to have this whole thing set up and ready to go into play. And so the first version of Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems, or MERS, was set up. And what this was designed to do was to streamline the tracking of mortgages electronically as they were bought and sold in the securitiesville, I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, you know, started version number one. That lasted until early 1998 when they sat down, I think, and took a look at this thing and said, well, this version doesn't seem to be working as well. Let's improve on it. They tried to do a second version. It only lasted a few months. And in 1998, they started, you know, going back to the drawing board with the help of Moody's and Standard & Poor's and Fitch's. And Moody's wrote a paper about it and how MERS is involved in this thing and why it's so important that we have MERS. At the same time, they got the American Land Title Association to write a position paper, which actually brings all their membership into the equation, because you wonder why the title companies can write around all these defects in title that we've got now, and I'll explain why those are there. The circumstances were such that, you know, long about January 1, 1999, MERS version number 2, which they found not working well, you know, basically morphed into version number 3, which was a bankruptcy remote entity that had no assets, no liabilities, no income, no expenses, and no employees. It was nothing more than a shell.
Mm-hmm.
It was a business model. It was the name of the business model. And the reason I bring that up is because there's been a lot of new information come out that your listeners need to know about if they're going to fight this monster, because that's what it is. MERS in of itself has no money at all. If you want to sue MERS, guess what you're going to get out of MERS? Nothing. Well, one of the changes that was made that went into effect January 1st, 1999, was that MERS had a parent, and the parent's name was MERS Corp, Inc. MERS Corp, Inc. has about 70 employees today, and they're now known as MERS Corp Holdings, Inc. as of February 22nd, 2012, when one merged into the other. And they basically did this, I think, to try to further obfuscate the construction of these companies, because MERS Corp, for all intents and purposes, is the parent. MERS is the child. All these cases that in California, like Cervantes and Gomez and cases like that, that have literally just gotten obliterated, have given MERS a lot of latitude in the state when MERS, in fact, misled the courts into believing that MERS had all this almighty authority when MERS had no authority. All the authority was vested by contract in MERS Corp. But if you look at your deed of trust in California now, you'll see MERS on there, but there's no mention of MERS Corp. This is a problem because MERS Corp has all the money. Mm-hmm. MERS Corp is a stock-for-profit company that basically makes about $2.5 billion a year, and they have all the cash. And MERS Corp owns nothing in the way of loans. They don't loan money. They don't get monthly payments. They don't do anything. In fact, the members don't have to follow MERS Corp rules. All these banks and servicers and foreclosure mills that join the MERS business model actually sign a contract with MERS Corp. There's a difference. And so what happened is MERS attorneys would go into court and tell the judge, well, they signed a contract, MERS on the contract, so MERS is a nominee and beneficiary. Well, in Washington State and Oregon, they've just ruled that MERS is not a valid beneficiary, and that's kind of changed the landscape now because it's forcing a lot of foreclosure mills and banks to actually bring more judicial foreclosures in both of those states to where the borrowers now are actually being served with process, and they have to show up and have their day in court rather than being served by publication. So that can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing because it forces the homeowner, instead of having, you know, X number of days to, you know, count down when to do things, they're now limited to 20 to 30 days to respond to pleadings in court. And this, of course, has prompted, you know, certain issues, especially with the passage in California of SB 900, which is the Homeowner Bill of Rights, you know, the protection bill. And there's a lot of little quirks in there that a lot of the attorneys in California are starting to become familiar with in the defense of homeowners. You know, I still don't like loan modifications, and the state bar, unfortunately, is cracking down on some of the attorneys I'm aware of who are fighting foreclosures, trying to shut them down and suspend them so they can't practice law and defend homeowners in foreclosure. So I can't say that the state bar is lining up in parallel with the needs of the general public. I think they're, you know, continuing to show themselves as part of the good old boy network that basically kowtows to the banks.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were, when this securitization took place, it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, so they were putting the info into the MERS system, but then I thought I've heard you say in other interviews that that didn't necessarily match the county land records, and that's where a lot of this confusion comes into play. Is that right?
Oh, you're so right. The circumstances with MERS, and this is what the counties are so upset about, is that MERS members, okay, who are actually contractually aligned with MERS Corp, the MERS Corp members use the MERS hack, and they basically record the first mortgage or deed of trust in the land records. In California, which is a deed of trust state, it's a non-judicial state, and they foreclose by publication and sale. And so, you know, first they have to call the homeowner into default, and then they bring, you know, put the ads in the paper and set the sale date up for auction, and they give the homeowner so much time to cure the default. If the homeowner doesn't cure the default, then we have an auction, and the house is sold on the courthouse steps. So, you know, what happens, however, is in the interim, once the MERS mortgage, MERS-originated mortgage or deed of trust, or we call that a MOM loan for MERS-originated mortgage loan, once that loan enters the system in the land records, nothing ever gets recorded until two things occur. One of two things occur. One is that the sum of the mortgage loan is paid in full. Two is there's a default and there's a foreclosure that takes place. Those are the only two ways that these things get released. Well, what we're finding out is that these mortgage loans were electronically recorded, and we believe that the notes and the ancillary paperwork were shredded following their creation of an electronic metadata file. And what we, you know, these consumers out here that got suckered into these predatory loans back in the 2000s, and 2003 to 2008 is when they did the most damage with this stuff. Mm-hmm. You got Countrywide and WAMU and all these other banks out there in California that, you know, basically just, you know, took hold and trashed the landscape. You know, they were saying that Countrywide loan officers were quoted as saying, look, if you can fog up a mirror, we can get you a mortgage loan. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that, you know, the loans weren't as cracked up as they were supposed to be. They were all adjustable rate mortgages. There was a some were interest rate only mortgages. Some were interest for 10 years, and then it would convert to a fixed rate and or an adjustable rate after interest only for 10 years. And literally, if somebody's having a hard time paying an interest only loan where there's no equity established, how the heck are they going to have be able to pay a mortgage loan that's going to jack itself up higher once the actual principal and interest kicks in. That's going to be really tough. And they knew this going into the thing.
Right.
You know, we're starting to see enough evidence of that fact, Angeline. So, you know, when we're looking at the situation, you know, we're looking at the fact that, you know, we would have an entire chain of title start in the land records in the Inland Empire and all the other counties in the state of California. And once the original deed of trust was recorded, the mortgage loan and all the ancillary paperwork would jump into the MERS database, managed and owned by MERS Corp, Inc., now MERS Corp Holdings, Inc., and it would stay there, obfuscated to the world. Homeowners would have no idea who owned their loan. And now we're finding out, and I have to squeeze this in before we get to the next break, now we're finding out that the notes never even made the trust pool. And we've got the investors who actually loaned that money to the borrowers. It wasn't the banks. It was the investor pools that loaned the money to the borrowers. We're getting ripped off left and right as these tranches that the loans were put in the securitized pools were collapsing one after another because of the massive defaults on these mortgage loans, which I believe were structured to fail. At the same time, the banks were all betting against the performance of the loan, hoping they would fail, and in so doing, racked up almost $53 trillion in profits from their insurance bets and credit default swaps.
Okay, Dave, we got to take our second break. Listeners, today my guest, Dave Krieger, author of Clouded Titles. We're discussing the foreclosure crisis. We'll be back momentarily on the True Seekers Radio Show.
Are you looking for the cheapest prices on car insurance? Then call the Cheap Car Insurance Hotline right now. Hey, you're guaranteed to save money on your car insurance. Most car insurances can be canceled at any time. That means if you find a better deal, you can switch right away. We're not just one company. We offer most of the major brands of car insurance. We're like a discount supermarket for car insurance. And it doesn't matter if you have a good record or a bad driving record. Our agents are experts at finding you the right car insurance for your needs. Our average customer saves hundreds of dollars a year when they call us to switch. So why don't you make this 100% free call right now and see how much you can save on your car insurance. Paid for by AIS Insurance.
Call 800-297-3985. 800-297-3985. 800-297-3985. That's 800-297-3985.
America is in ruins. The globalist Great Reset is here. Enough of the candy-coated, seeker-friendly nonsense. Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper where we take on the tough issues. We cover things your pastor wouldn't touch if his life depended on it. Actually, your life depends on it. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com. It's time you get the truth.
Unlocking the vault.
Now you can listen to classic conservative patriot talk radio shows of yesteryear like Chuck Carter's For the People,
Bill Cooper's Hour of the Time,
Joyce Riley's Power Hour,
Stan Monteith's Radio Liberty,
Tom Donahue's Freethinker Radio, and many other classic shows. Listen 24/7 at PatriotRadioClassics.com. That's PatriotRadioClassics.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the True Seekers Radio Show. Today my guest is Dave Krieger, author of Clouded Titles, and we're discussing the foreclosure crisis. And Dave, before we move on, could you give us your web address and how the listeners can find your book and maybe whether or not or when you're going to hold some more workshops on the subject?
Well, actually, for the California listeners, Angeline can benefit from knowing the website, because they can constantly monitor that to see when the next CODA workshop is coming to their area. We are right now, as a matter of fact, trying to set one up for Northern California around San Jose, San Francisco area.
Okay.
And that will be sometime in November. That's what we're hoping. The circumstances are such, if you need to get updated information, you can go to cloudedtitles.com. cloudedtitles.com. The reason it's plural is because we've got over 70 million titles to property in America that are affected by MERS and what's happened in securitization. Unfortunately, what MERS and the banks really didn't take into consideration is what their intended consequence was, even if it was to make predatory loans and hopefully they could, you know, do what appears to be the biggest land grab in America by the banks. The bigger problem is that the chain of title to over 70 million properties is now suspect for being corrupted. And once it's corrupted, you can't sell it.
So, Dave, let's say someone comes to you and they say, look, I'm ready to buy a home. Can you walk us through what you would advise someone based on your experience?
Well, I can tell you what I did. You know, buying a house is a privilege, not a right. I don't care what Bill Clinton said in the 1990s when he was president and touting, you know, the fact that everybody deserves a home. It's a privilege to have it based on your willingness to work and willingness to make the payments. We had so many programs set up at the time that would basically give people their down payment. They'd throw them in. If you were a low-income earner, they would actually find a way to get you your down payment. So you virtually had zero equity into the property,
mm-hmm.
and so you were not really incentivized to go out and buy property.
Officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
all
quiet.
That...
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I am. Seems such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible!
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs!
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern.